ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another edition of the Mr. Warren Hayes Show. I, of course, am Mr. Warren Hayes, and depending on where you are in the world right now, but let's say we're talking North America, Eastern Seaboard, it is Sunday morning, and while most of us should be resting from a busy week, taking it nice and easy, or, you know, maybe getting up early to get ready for church, whatever. Look, here's the thing. I'm up because I just finished watching Dominion, New Japan Pro Wrestling's Dominion in Osaka Joe Hall. It just finished right here, right now. And I didn't listen to it alone. No, sirree, Bob. I listened to it with a friend, a pal, a chum, a compadre who also watched it and listened to it. Someone whom I share the Smart to Death radio airwaves with, the Queen of NE, host of Queen's Court.
Well, Warren, you got it right.
How you doing, Queen?
I'm well, you know, it's early in the morning, like you said, but I'm doing great because I get to talk New Japan with you. So awesome stuff. Happy to be here, even though it is 5:46 a.m.
Yeah, but we're kind of stoked, right?
Yeah.
Because stuff happened. It wasn't
stuff
just
happened.
Stuff happened, and we're gonna get into it. So it kind of makes it all a lot of really exciting. We're alive. We're here, and just like a bunch of people here as well. As we're recording this live here on YouTube.com/Mr. Warren Hayes, we've got people who also stayed up late, or maybe it's in their time zone. I don't know. See, the internet. Here's the thing: the internet, it's global, right? So yeah, that's the weird, there can be people from anywhere, like right now, online. So it might not be, my point being, it's not 5:45 for them. I mean, when you think about it, it just blows. I want to say hello to the Penis is back, who is in the chat. Danny Thomas, good to see you as well. JK Schwall, how you doing? That's very cool. Very cool to see you. Carlos is here as well. How you doing? And hello, Mr. Blue. If you say hello to hello, Mr. Blue, do you say just hello, Mr. Blue, or do you say hello, Mr. Blue? I'm not sure what the appropriate response is there.
Two hellos work.
Two hellos work.
Hello, Mr. Blue. Yeah.
And this one guy, Bob Baruski, weird name, Daniel Ferrer is here as well. Good to see everyone here coming, popping in to listen to us chat about this event, Dominion, that just happened. But before we get into Dominion, Queen, we've done our brackets right on each side for the cup, you know, and every year when it seems to me with the New Japan Cup, every year I do my brackets and then the event happens and then I shrug and I go, I don't understand. Like, why do I pretend to understand New Japan Pro Wrestling? Because there were a couple of bracket busters this year.
Sure were.
I'd consider Yoshihashi a bracket buster.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the biggest bracket buster of them all is unquestionably Evil. Because that eventually led us to the main event of yesterday that we're just going to touch on, where Evil defeated Kazuchika Okada, which is something that I did not see coming, did not expect at all. Thought the match was okay, you know, nothing to be like, hey, go back and watch it, or, you know, it's not necessarily something, in my opinion anyway, it's not necessarily something that's going to stick with you, but what did you think of the main event yesterday, the finals of the New Japan Cup?
Well, let me tell you something. Here's the thing, I don't really like Evil. I've never really liked Evil. I wanted to like Evil.
Like in a philosophical sense or the wrestler?
The wrestler.
Okay. Oh.
Maybe I'm a heel in real life. No, I'm kidding. the wrestler. I wanted to like him. I sure. Liked the darkness. I liked the everything is evil. The outfit, the scythe, the vibe was really cool. But the execution for me just wasn't there. So I couldn't really buy into Evil.
Right.
So I kind of felt like, meh. Okay, whatever. We're going to get Okada versus Evil. Okada will win 2 years in a row, and we'll have this event. And that's fine. No big deal there. I did not expect this finish. And it was an okay match. I agree with you. I wouldn't recommend it to go back and watch either. There are other things that I would tell you to go watch other than that match.
Sure.
So the fact that he pinned Okada, I was like, I'm sorry, what's going on? And then, of course, the ending happened where we get the turn. And then I'm like, oh, okay. So remember that one time when I was talking to Anthony and JPQ on the Smart Death show?
Yep.
And I was like, yeah, so evil, it's not happening. And you, see, this is what you were talking about. When we make brackets and we make assumptions about New Japan, we're just wrong. So, like, it's just fun to try, but we're so wrong.
We'll give it a shot every time. But, yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like participation trophies that we get at the end, ultimately. Yeah. Yeah. We should have seen this coming.
We should have.
Because there's, as much as Gato likes to flip things on us and just be like, well, you didn't see that coming kind of thing.
Right.
There were telltale signs. Evil leaning more, like I called it, he was using many more dirty tactics, right, during the New Japan Cup. And I was saying, I saw that and I was saying, oh, he's leaning into his tweener side. I mean, look at how bad evil he's become because he knows this is the only way he can probably beat Kazuchika Okada kind of thing, you know, if he uses subterfuge and shenanigans. And then, so that was the, you know, there were a couple of things that were set there. But ultimately, I think the one thing that we should have all been watching the show yesterday, that we all should have been like, oh, this is a sign, is when Yujiro Takahashi won a match, pinned a guy, you know?
Yeah.
Then you're like, oh, if one of the under guys of Bullet Club is winning a match, that means there's something big that's going to happen with Bullet Club. Like, because we've seen
you're right.
Like when Chase Owens started winning matches at some point, and then I can't remember exactly the timeline. I'm a little confused, but you know, it helped herald in Jay White into Bullet Club, like out of chaos and into. It's all this. We should have seen this coming. But you know, hindsight is 2020. What can you do?
Hindsight is 2020. He does like to give us breadcrumbs.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, like, we just don't pay attention to it because we're watching so many other things. But if you look, you're right. It's there. We should have known. And it kind of felt like, you know, they're trying to rebuild Bullet Club in a lot of ways.
Oh, sure.
And LIJ was starting to be in shambles anyway, right? Because we saw the stuff during the New Japan Cup between Naito and Shingo and Hiromu and Naito and, like, you know, whatever. It wasn't like tension, but they were going to try to fight for the belts. That's what Hiromu wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Naito wanted to do pre-COVID. So we saw some things happening with LIJ, Sonata stuff. So, like, it seemed like it was imploding. I just didn't think or look at the evil side as being the thing that was going to set it on fire.
No, so, me neither.
Yeah, that's where I'm at.
Well, anyway, we'll dive into the evil stuff a little later.
Yeah.
Obviously. So let's get right into tonight's card. First of all, again, another. See, I'm doing two first of alls. I'm saying first of all twice. So second of all, Warren, a crowd, right?
Yeah, a crowd. And a set.
Yeah.
And like kind of normal-ish.
Felt good, right?
Did feel good. It felt good to hear claps. It felt good to see everybody in masks and spread apart. It always feels good to see the Monsters, Inc. style CDC cleaning crew. That's my favorite thing. It just makes me laugh so hard, but like in the best way because it's for a good reason. But yeah, it felt really good. You hear people, they get to see things and react. It was nice.
And this is when you really realize that how much an audience really is like the third participant in a match, right? It's part of the show. The audience is really part of the show. And my stance moving forward on a couple of things, but as far as this in particular, if I ever hear someone talk about, oh, this audience is going into business for itself, I'm going to shoot them down. I'm going to be like, you know what? We spent months without an audience. And people are like, oh, we need an audience. You don't. If an audience wants to go into business for itself, moving forward and start to hijack a show because they think something is boring and start doing the wave or whatever, I'm okay with it. I don't think there can be a compelling argument to shit on an audience moving forward. That's just me. But it did feel good. It was nice. There was something very, very, very good about it. And like you said, like you pointed out, very well executed too. You could see that, you know, you could see everyone was wearing a mask. The distancing was there. It was good stuff.
It was a feel good moment. It just makes you feel a little hopeful. Mm-hmm. You know, not where I live, but in Japan, looking good.
All right. So the first match that we got tonight was Gabriel Kidd, Hanma, and Makabe versus Taguchi Nagata and Kojima. Listen, we can skim over these the preliminary matches fairly quickly. Gabriel Kidd, of course, ate it because he was the young lion in this. I mean, this was fine. It was mostly, it was the dads. It was the dads and Junior.
Yes.
That's basically what it was, right?
Absolutely correct. The dads of New Japan and Junior. But you know what I think, and what I'll say probably for a couple of these as we're skimming through them, the Young Lion crop is just outstanding.
Oh, yes.
Gabriel Kidd is not afraid to get in people's face. Like, I wouldn't get in Nagata's face if it were, me, but he's not afraid to do it, and he shows out. He's very talented. We saw a lot of chop fests in this match, of course, as you would imagine from Hanma. It was the dad. It was the dad show.
It was the dad show. Absolutely.
It was fun.
It was fine. Absolutely. Next, the other match we got was was Sanada, Hiromu Takahashi, and Bushi versus Tomohiro Ishii, Toru Yano, and Tsuji. So again, you know what's happening here.
You sure do.
The match comes to an end when Hiromu gets Tsuji to tap with a single leg crab. That was an interesting finish. I like when wrestlers end matches without necessarily having to go to their finisher.
Yeah.
If we're going to talk some crossover a bit, Cody Rhodes likes to do that a lot, and I dig that. Throughout the New Japan Cup, Okada was ending his matches with a Cobra Clutch. So, that was fun. I like that. And again, nothing offensive, nothing. It was fine. It was fine. Had a little bit of just enough comedy between Hiromu and Yano as well. I liked it,
It was okay. Yeah, it wasn't anything special, but it had some good moments in there. I think the best part for me was how despondent the members of LIJ looked, and Hiromu's wrist tape. And his wrist tape had Y written all over it.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, to me, the best part of this whole thing. It's setting up what we're going to get later. And that I love.
And that's an excellent point that you're bringing up. And I think it's a really good talking point, how Hiromu comes across as, the child of the divorce. where he's like, wait, mom and dad don't get along anymore, and I don't like it.
Yes, and I'm mad about it.
I'm super. Yeah, it's like I'm super mad about it. Yes. Yeah, I'm gonna write it all over my hands. But that's essentially it. That's a very, very good. That's a very good point that you brought up there, because. And it fits in his character. That's the thing. It fits in his character because he's emotional. He's not a reasonable guy. He's not a guy that, who's going to be very, who's going to think about stuff. He's impulsive. It's his emotions. That's what his character is. So it makes sense that he's a little distraught that his LIJ family is breaking apart.
Sure does. It fits perfectly with him. I just wanted him to get Daryl and have a hug and feel a little bit better.
There you go. Hopefully he had a whole bunch of Daryls backstage for him.
Given what happened later, I'm going to say probably not.
Then we had Doki, El Desperado, and Kanemaru versus Master Wato. Yuya Uemura.
You got it, buddy.
and Hiroyoshi Tenzan. First of all, the grand arrival of Master Wato. Queen, you are a fashion guru when it comes to wrestling fashion. The blue hair, the blue, I guess it's kind of a gi. It's not exactly a gi, but the jacket's not exactly a robe either. All color coordinated. Tell me about his look. Tell me about Luke, Master Wato's look.
That's what it is, Mr. Warren Hayes. Listen, here's the deal. We love a good color scheme, honey. We love color blocking, okay? Mm-hmm. Color blocking is a real thing. It's very fashion forward. However, this is not it.
Oh.
The hair's great.
Okay.
Keep the hair.
Mm-hmm.
The robe / jacket, whatever we're going to call it, it's great. The trunk / tight situation with the weird fake Louis Vuitton-esque pattern.
Right.
Can't do it. That has to go.
And are we okay with the fuchsia belt? The kind of like, or little trim that's around his waist? It's kind of like a pinkish.
Yeah, I'd be okay with that pop of color, right, if the tights were better. Yes.
Okay, so the tights we have to work on. But overall...
Overall, it's a good look. It needs to be refined.
He looks like a grandmaster.
I think he would like to look like a grandmaster, yes.
Well, I agree. And okay, so
in the ring he does, though, I'll say that.
Well, I mean, I was going to say that I think that, you know, maybe along with his attire, his ring work still has to be refined a bit. He's not bad by any stretch of the imagination, but I know that there's a lot of kicks that he threw that ended up being like shin kicks as opposed to actually his foot landing. And I noticed the same thing with his match against Doki yesterday as well. But I mean, look, he's super young. This is the kind of situation. This is what I like, where you have a guy who's officially left, you know, the Young Lions program, and he's allowed to develop his character. I'm really excited to see where, like, in 15 years from now, like how many junior heavyweight titles he's won. And then we can look back to this moment here, you know, when he had that goofy close up of him, you know, with his, because the pictures haven't been very flattering for Grandmaster Yato. But, you know, so I'm excited to see where it's going to go. I'm definitely not going to crap on him. But no. But the match here had El Desperado getting the pin on Yuya. And I was like, cool. Despy getting a pin. And then again, that would tie into later. Match was okay. Once again, I mean, nothing much to talk about. It's your run-of-the-mill multi-man opening matches on a New Japan card.
100% right. Not much to add there. I will just say I think Yuya is going to be a really big star. He's got the face build and talent to do so. And I just love these Young Lions, man. They showed out so well in this cup leading into Dominion that I'm excited for their future as well.
And here's the crazy part. And then Tsuji as well he's fantastic. And then you still have Shota, who's out there.
Oh, Shota.
Right? He's on excusion as well. Yes. He's been excused from New Japan.
Yes, he's got an excuse pass to leave school.
So, you know, there's other guys who are going to come around. And Wato, Master Wato, is actually apparently, I think he's currently the CMLL light heavyweight champion. So, wow. You know, these are all good things. All these new young guys who are going to have to carry us into more New Japan love in the next few years, because... You know, at some point, Hiroshi's gonna have to hang it up. You know what I mean?
I know.
At some point.
Someday.
Then we had Okada and Hiroki Goto versus Taiji Ishimori and Yujiro Takahashi.
Bro.
Go ahead.
First of all, how weird is it to see Okada in this match? How weird. Right? Like different and fun, but weird.
I am not shitting you Queen of Any, host of the Queen of Any podcast. I am not shitting you right now. This is the first thing that I wrote as a note that I was going to throw to you. This was weird, right? Like, this is exactly what I was going to go for. It was weird.
It is weird. It is weird. It's not a bad... I'm not saying it's a bad weird. It's fun to see Okada in different scenarios with different people. Sure. And not in the main event. I'm cool with that because it gives us a different perspective and, mm-hmm. and something else to do. But, like, he's teaming with Goto versus these two. What's happening? It's so weird.
And Yujiro, who is the C team of Bullet Club. That's, I think...
Literally...
To me, this is what makes it really weird. Yes. As opposed to not being necessarily a main event or a top of the card match, it's just he's in a match with. Ishimori. It's a question of his booking. You know, it's like he's teetering between B team and C team, depending on Gato's mood. But
yeah,
the Tokyo Pimp, man, he's been there for
forever.
And so they're having Okada in a match with these two is what makes it a little mind blowing to me. That's just the thing that makes it weird for me. Again, good match. Nothing special to say about it. You know, nothing that'll blow your mind, but still pretty good. There was mostly a story being told here throughout the match where Takahashi was hitting moves and actually being somewhat dominant. Towards the end of the match, Okada starts mopping up the double team efforts from the Bullet Club guys until Gato comes out, attacks him with that spanner that he has. While in the meantime, in the ring, Goto hits the Ushigoroshi. Okada's getting choked out outside of the ring. There's a backstabber on Goto by Ishimori. Takahashi hits his low DDT finisher on Goto for the win. But then after the match, Gato tosses a choked out Okada into the ring, and Takahashi then hits his finisher on Okada. And Yujiro Takahashi, the Tokyo Pimp, stands tall at the end of this match. What the fuck is 2020?
I don't know. That's what I've been saying since basically the beginning of this year. What the fuck is this year, Warren? I have no idea what's happening. First of all, this man, the Tokyo Pimp, and like Robbie Eagles are your go-to take a pin for Bullet Club guys.
I know. Right, exactly.
He wins over Goto and then attacks Okada and is standing over Okada in the ring. And I'm like, all right, something major is happening with Bullet Club because this is ridiculous.
I want to see here. As far as COVID booking, okay?
Yeah.
I think right up until today, I was pushing forward that Yoshihashi was probably the biggest winner of COVID booking because he made it through two rounds.
He sure did.
Of the New Japan Cup. And just for that, I'm like, the pandemic won for Yoshihashi. But Yujiro Takahashi hitting his finisher on Kazuchika Okada and standing tall at the end of Dominion, at the end of a match on Dominion, which is the second biggest show of the year for New Japan. I think we have a winner.
We do.
I think this is the guy who will benefit most from a good portion of the roster just not being available.
Easily.
Now we start getting into the juicy bits. Now we're going to start talking about some real good stuff. And we got a super chat from JK Schwal leading us into it, who says, hopefully my neighbors don't mind me running outside to hose off this early in the morning after show versus Shingo. Ooh.
What a delight. What a delight, Warren.
Could it be that these two guys are just like absolutely meant for each other as far wrestling wise, of course, or outside the ring? Like, I'm not judging. I mean, they can do whatever they want. You know, that's not the point, but I'm talking about what we're able to see, what we know of.
I mean, Best of Super Juniors last year, everyone's jaw just dropped because I don't think anyone was expecting it to be that good. They had one of the best matches of the New Japan Cup this year. And then they have another fantastic singles match tonight. I mean, I don't know how happenstance this feud is, but New Japan has something really, really special here that they can go back to at any moment, Queen.
100%. The way that this was being built during the New Japan Cup made it one of the things that I was looking forward to the most. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, we're going to get this at Dominion and it's going to slap. And it really did. They were beating each other within an inch of life, it felt like. Shingo selling is one of my favorite things. Like, he makes you believe that he is in excruciating agony. And Sho is just this amazing talent. And, like, I love him in a tag team with Yo, but I really love Sho in this Never picture. I think that this makes so much sense for him. And like you said, him and Shingo have chemistry. This is something that you could rebuild and have at any time. You could pull this out of your back pocket and give us this match, and no one's going to be upset about it.
Absolutely.
It was beautiful. And just the cadence and pacing and move sets and near falls within this match made it so special. And while my heart was like, oh, no, I want Sho to have a belt, I love that Shingo retained as well, because Shingo is no joke.
No.
And it's so, this is so much fun. This was like, I was waiting for this to happen. Like, the first matches are fun and you get your story, but like, this is where Dominion kicks off, right? You know, things are about to pop off, and they sure did.
There was so much great, great stuff. Shingo hits a back elbow early on Sho, and he thinks he just knocked him out, but no, Sho stands back up and hits him with a brain buster, which was fantastic. Sho hits a pair of rolling German suplexes at some point. Shingo avoids the last one, hits the ropes, but Sho is right there to pick him off the ropes and snap German him. That was really, really good stuff. Shingo hits the ropes for... and of course, there's moments where they just slug at each other. They just slug, completely slug at each other. There's a pair of backstabbers by Sho as well. He did that fantastic deadlift suplex, German suplex into a bridge, you know, when he had, like, Shingo in a Mission Impossible pose.
Yes.
and he just deadlifted him over his head. He's a smaller guy. I mean, that's really, really impressive. That was good stuff. And Sho was murdering Shingo at some point. Shingo was just in the ropes. He was eating elbows and forearms, and I was like, please make it stop.
It was awful. In the best way.
It was awful in the best way, exactly. But it's the Last of the Dragon that finally puts Sho away. You talked about him and Yo. Whenever I get a chance to talk about New Japan, I like to talk about the state of the tag team division, and I am one of these proponents of just merging the weight classes and just never mind having a junior, the junior titles. I think they're worthless. And Roppongi 3K, at this point, and I want to get your thoughts, I kind of feel like Sho is above Roppongi now. What do you think?
Oh, I agree. I do. I love them tagging together. They're just a lot of fun. But I think, you know, Bob Ruski said in the chat, he said, I think that, you know, Sho is the breakout of Roppongi 3K. And I don't disagree. I think that that's right. There's just something about Sho that he can push to a different gear that the other two just can't. They can't. Mm-hmm. You know, and Rocky is his own situation. And Yo is good, but he's not in the position that Sho is. Sho can go to any, I feel like, either junior or regular heavyweight seamlessly. Sure. He has that ability. He's proved that here by fighting Shingo and just, like, lifting him up like he weighed nothing and dropping him down. I mean, that power bomb, woo!
That was nuts.
It was beautiful.
And to your point, you know, there's something to be said about about Shingo continuing like his reign of terror, which I think is fantastic because he is special. He is a special, special talent. There's a reason why they moved him up. They moved him up that quickly from the junior heavyweights up to the heavyweights, because they want to be able to do whatever they want with the guy, because he can do whatever they want him to do as well. So having him retain is fine. I really would have liked the proper singles push for Sho to start, especially since Yo is injured.
Like, yeah.
So he can't really go back to the tag team stuff just yet. Yo's out of it. So I was torn. I still think it was a good moment to kick off this, to kick off Sho singles push. But then again, it's New Japan. They're into long-term booking. They know how to bring back a story. And right now we have honestly, I don't think I've been this excited about a pairing, like meeting each other and having one-on-one since Okada and Omega, if I'm being very honest.
Yeah.
Because it's...
Oh, man.
It's really exciting. I really like it. Anyway, the match.
Yeah.
El Desperado attacked Shingo.
Sure did.
And he picked up the Never title, and he seems to like it. I'm going to tell you, I like the idea of Shingo and Despy going at it. How do you feel about this?
I'm fine with that. I think that's a great next challenger. Mm-hmm. I think this is it's going to be a great match. I think Despy and Ishii had one of my favorite matches in the cup.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, you know, he's kind of slept on a little bit. Little El Desperado. And I feel like this is going to be a great time as they build this program with Shingo to fight for that belt, inevitably. I think it's going to be a good time. I don't mind that.
I don't mind it either. And like you said, I think a lot of people, New Japan has been sleeping quite a bit. I think that's the perfect word on Desperado for a while. I'm completely okay with him having a moment in the sun. You know, if we were to do early predictions, I think both of us would be like, no way Despy's taking the title from Shingo. But Jesus Christ, after what happened tonight.
I was going to say, maybe we should defer from making definitive statements. Maybe we'll say, we would be happy if Shingo retained.
As opposed to be like, I don't think this. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I want to say hello to Philip Patag, who joined us in the chat. Hello, Philip. Listen, Tai Chi and Zack Sabre Jr. defeated Hiroshi Tanahashi and Kota Ibushi to become the new IWGP Heavyweight Tag Team Champions tonight. If the whole main event wasn't enough for you, but this could have gone either way. And I like this match. I thought it was a good tag team match. We had stereo planchas early on by Tanahashi and Ibushi. And Ibushi just landed really hard on the floor, but he just popped right up because, you know, it's Kota Ibushi. And he doesn't care about pain.
Nope.
There's an awesome chain of double team offense by the champs as well to begin with. And then Tai Chi, to try and get the upper hand, tries to strangle Tanahashi. There was a lot of strangling.
There was a lot of strangling
tonight. Really was. There was a lot of garroting. Tai Chi had a garrot, but I liked the way he used it at first, where he sort of applied it while Red Shoe's back was turned and applied it so that it looked like a headlock. And I thought that was clever. You know, as far as heel work goes, I thought that was really clever. Tanahashi is your babyface in peril for the greater majority of this match. And really the final third of this match really starts picking up. I wanted to say taking off and picking up at the same time and... So you're just picking off. there's some double submissions at some point from the heels that the baby faces eventually reverse out of. It ends with Tanahashi with Tanahashi hitting a getting a dragon sleeper on Taichi. I loved Zack Sabre Jr. running in with a flying sleeper on Ibushi, who was setting Taichi up for the Kamigoye, and Jr. just like flew and grabbed him into the sleeper. I thought that was fantastic. There's a lot of great spots, a high fly flow at some point, but Zack Sabre Jr. gets his knees up to block it. It just looks like it hurt everyone, absolutely everyone. And then Taichi and Zack Sabre Jr. double team on Tanahashi. Taichi holds Tanahashi up while Zack Sabre Jr. just does leg whips after leg whip after leg whip after leg whip. It was brutal, good, brutal heel work. I dug it. And that allowed them afterwards to get the Sabre Driver head kick combo for the win.
Ooh.
I thought this was really good.
It was very good. I feel like 2020, in all of its madness, has at least been the year for tag team wrestling. It's mm-hmm. just showing out. And in New Japan, this is a joy to see. Because they struggle a lot with their tag team division for many, many reasons.
Oh, yeah.
Right? It's not what I watch New Japan for, mm-hmm. primarily. Though I love G.O.D., it's not what I watch, you know, for tag team wrestling primarily. It's just not. But this was the first time in a long time where it felt like such a big deal, these tag titles. And mm-hmm. because of how wholesome and beloved Tana and Ibushi are, mm-hmm. with their exact opposites on the other side, with Lord Taichi. Good Lord. I'm actually coming around on Lord Taichi. Oh, I can't believe I said that out loud. That's so weird. Anyway, and Zack Sabre Jr., who I love always. This is fun. I'm really glad that they won, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the way that this match came out, it was such a back and forth that it felt like whoever won earned it for real.
Mm-hmm.
And even though they did their evil, you know, heel stuff, it still felt like they earned those titles. And I'm really pumped to see how they're going to do this tag run with these guys. It's fun. And you just have to see that image of them smiling together afterwards and have to think how proud Murder Grandpa is right now.
I mean, I tweeted it out. I tweeted out the picture, you know, with the caption "wholesome content," and it's Taichi and Zack Sabre Jr. There's nothing wholesome about either of those guys, but you see them there. Their faces are lit up. You cannot but feel the good stuff. And you're right. The match went back and forth. I really liked how they focused on the legs, on the knees of Tanahashi. Yeah. Over and over again, and there was just something so vile, you know, about how much they just focused in and kept going at it. It wasn't once, wasn't twice, three times. It just kept over and over, and you know, didn't pull out like a chair to crack over his knees. Didn't wrap his legs around a barricade or something like that. It was just like, no, we're gonna use the same wrestling move over and over and over again. But you're not going to get me behind Taichi. I'm sorry. Perennial mid-carder in his 40s. No way. I don't. This is a guy who's going to benefit from COVID. There you go.
Yeah. But you know what, though, Warren? I don't like Taichi either. But I will say that I'm coming around on him because of this feud with Tanahashi. The way that they've been interacting in the cup and ragging on each other for their bodies.
Sure.
And talking crap. And the way that they build. I like Taichi if he's going to be with Zack Sabre Jr. as tag champs. That I can stomach. Mm-hmm. The rest and the singing. Plus, he broke up with his girlfriend. How rude. And he still used her in his package? Goodbye.
No. I mean, she has
you're to... a scumbag.
She has to get... She has to get her legal representation in
she
order.
She does.
That's unacceptable.
Rude.
That's kind of like... You know, kind of like... That's kind of like your ex, you know, still having pictures of you up on the wall, you know?
Yeah. Or on their social media. Like, no, bro, take it down. Not together anymore.
There you go. Just make it disappear.
That's right. Speaking of making things disappear.
Go. Yeah, we're going to move on to that one. Just want to say hello to Darnell Thames, who joins us in the chat. Good to see you. Main event time.
Oh, Lord Warren.
Lord Warren. I like the sound of that.
You could be Lord Warren.
Lord Warren.
Oh, Lord Warren.
Evil, newly minted member of Bullet Club, is defeated Tetsuya Naito to become the IWGP champ, winning both the IWGP heavyweight title and the Intercontinental Championship.
There's your clip right there, folks.
Look, okay. Let's break it down as far as the match goes and everything, okay?
Okay.
They start off by doing a recap between the history of Naito and in Evil. You know, they're the OG members of LIJ, right? So, cool. I like that they dig back into the history, present it. I think it's cool. I want to get your thoughts. Of course. Evil changes his look. There's the scythe is gone, the robes, the very awkward mask. I never really understood how he was able to properly see out of that during his ring entrances, but I guess if you're just walking in a straight line, it's fine. He drapes his hair over his eyes because he's emo. No more. No, despite the fact that, and just to emphasize the fact that he's, to counteract the fact that he's emo, he's done with the makeup, and he has a Bullet Club Centurion getup, right? Where he has and when you saw it close up, you know, the little lanyards, I don't know exactly how you'd call them, but they all had little machine guns on them. And I was like, wow, okay, there's cool attention to. What do you think about his new getup?
Okay, love the no makeup. The whole vibe of him coming out with the new music, but still the dark purple and black, gave me very old school Undertaker vibes. Ooh. And then he came out and the hair, I get it. I understand what he's doing. I actually like that the hair is washed out color. I think that's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. It gives him a different edge. I love that he has dirty, no makeup.
A little dirty, a little grimy,
like he's supposed to be, because he is. And especially what he does in a few minutes.
Son of a bitch, bastard.
All right, so this shaved side of his head there, that was really nice looking. He looked very clean and kind of more jerkish than ever. So the vibe was good.
Yes,
I like the top. I like the tights. I like the feeling. The Centurion skirt thing. That has to go for me.
Oh, okay.
I understand the vibe of what they're trying to do. I like that there were, the little machine guns on there, and he embraced Bullet Club 100% right there. That's for sure. But the skirt part doesn't do anything for him. I think it would look better presented without it. Mm-hmm. Maybe a belt or something else that he can have to break up his torso and legs, because that's kind of why I think it's there. There are other ways he can do that and give illusion, but I don't think that the skirt does him any favors. It just kind of reminds me of the way it moves of when you go in a car wash and those big, long things are washing your car. That's what it looks like to me.
All right. So clearly it's not working for you. Absolutely not.
All right. Though.
Sure. Yeah. And you're right. You know, the maintaining the purple shades, I think it's a good call too, because it's always been part of his atmosphere. I liked it. Darkest Eclipse, welcome to the chat. Nice to see you. So here's another thing where you know you've become a full-on heel, especially in Bullet Club. The match starts with a stall. He stalls. Sure. And as you know, friends of the Mr. Warren Hayes Show, I like me a good old stall. I like it. I like a Jay White stall, a Kevin Owens stall, the Larry Zbysko 7-minute stall. I'm in for a good stall. This was okay. It was fine. I think it needs work. I don't think he fully leaned into the fact that, you know, he could get some heat. But he's learning. Anyway, Naito baseball drop kicks him. And he's like, nah, I got enough out of this. And he starts beating the hell out of him outside the ring, into the barricades, onto commentary. But then Evil starts to trash Naito, sets up a table. That'll come into play in a little while. But the moment that broke all our hearts, Queen, Evil goes to commentary and grabs Milano's little toy scythe. The one that he holds so dear. Every time Evil comes to the ring, he takes it, he snaps it in two, and he throws it at Milano. Now, all that would be fine, but Milano jumps the barricade.
He sure did.
It's almost as if he killed a puppy, and he just goes right for him. But he gets tossed into the barricade hard, and Milano's heart is broken. You can go back, at just like in that good old Simpsons gag, and you can find the exact moment where his heart splits in two.
Queen. Oh, it's the worst. I was just like, as soon as I saw him go over to him, I was like, oh, he's going to break that freaking scythe. Oh, my God, don't do it. And of course he did. And I was like, how freaking dare you?
Now, here's the thing, though. I don't know if it's a cultural thing. I want to say hello to Charlie Wolf just before we move on. Welcome to the chat. I don't know if it's a cultural thing. I don't know what it is exactly. But do all Japanese dudes take their toys so seriously? Because
it might be.
Or I don't know how much a scythe, a miniature evil scythe costs. At the merch booth, maybe it's like $50 or something like that, you know, which is really steep for
their items are very expensive, Warren.
So maybe Milano's like, dude, you know how much this cost me? And Evil's like, haha, I got your royalties, bitch. Yeah, I don't know. Evil starts working Naito's knee. And this will actually play a big part in the match. Naito goes through some of his big hits, but his knee is a problem. He hits an inverted neck breaker on the apron. That was a really cool spot where he just drops Evil on the apron and yeah. Naito just falls through to the floor. That was a really cool spot. Then they go back to teasing the table, and the spot comes through when Evil locks the knee and drives it off the apron through the table. It looked messy as hell. But when you look at it, I went back and checked it, and it was as intended. Evil wanted the knee to go through the table, and that's exactly what happened. And it looked messy and I want to use the word real, but it's not exactly that either. But it looked authentic, I guess.
Yes, that's a good word.
But I think that was it. It was a messy, messy table spot, but I liked it.
Yeah, it was messy. And I just was like, ooh, yikes. Mm-hmm. We didn't like knees today in New Japan. Didn't like them.
Didn't like our knees. Didn't like windpipes.
Nope, didn't like knees, didn't like windpipes, didn't like toys. So, it's a bad day in New Japan.
It's a bad day, yeah, exactly. Back in the ring, Naito fights out of a Boston Crab. He goes for multiple comebacks, but the knee always works against him. Though he does manage a springboard tornado DDT and a top rope Hurricane Rana, which was really, really nice. I thought Evil went through the motions perfectly. There's a weird Destino spot that gets blocked, which is followed by a ref bump, and then Jado comes to the ring, but then Ishimori just like,
yep, right, motors, right?
It's like, okay, Jado, you're supposed to go. I'm like, all right, I just have to go. We can't wait for Jado. I'll just go start beating up on people, and you know, eventually Jado will get there. They start to interfere in the match, but Hiromu Takahashi comes out to chase them off, which was fantastic. Evil cracks a chair over Naito's head. Naito hits a beautiful swinging inverted DDT from the second turnbuckle as well. A brainbuster and a Destino attempt that is interrupted by a low blow by Evil. And then someone comes out in an LIJ shirt with a mask on. But he attacks Naito and he garrots him. He chokes him with a rope. And it
sure
is
did.
Specifically designed for that. It had two little handhelds. Jesus. Everyone's so like, busy. So go ahead.
Do you know what it looks like, Warren?
What does it look like?
So when you cook things, there's this like little thin plastic wire with two handles on it. And you need to slice pizza dough or you slice other things with it. That's what it looked like to me. And I'm like, oh, we're going to chop people's heads off. Okay. You should be getting very, very graphic this evening or this morning.
Yeah.
Evening, our morning.
Evil hits a final low blow on, he spreads his legs and just like stomps his crotch. That was a shoot low blow.
Oh yeah, he really stepped on him.
There was like, Naito's got a case of swollen nuts for sure after that one. Hits Everything Is Evil and pins Tetsuya Naito in the middle of the ring for the 1-2-3.
I love that you got really close to your microphone because this is unbelievable.
Make sense of this for me, Queen. This is what you're here for.
Okay, well, the only way that I can make sense of this is that Gato hates Naito, and this is for real. I said this in my little Hangouts chat, and I said it to you before we started recording, that Gato giveth and Gato taketh really quickly away. Because we had our moment with Naito. It was glorious. It was wonderful. It was at Wrestle Kingdom. We had all the streamers. We had people.
Mm-hmm.
It was wonderful. It was before everything went to hell in a handbasket. So now we had that moment with Naito. He was successfully defended his belt as we've moved forward. And then nothing. And then New Japan Cup, we're back. Okay, great. Cool. Now we're going to see Naito really start defending this belt and having a good run. And we waited 7 years for this.
Mm-hmm.
And the storyline building, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And the constant disappointment and the relationship, the toxic relationship almost with that white belt, okay?
Yeah.
And as we push and we finally get Naito 2 belts, and I'm like, okay, so now we get to really build Naito as a champion. We get to see him fight everybody. It's going to be a really good time. No, we do not, Warren. No, we do not. Because in a match that, by the way, was not the best match on the card, in my opinion, and had a lot of sloppy spots from the now new champ, who's also a 3-time champ now. We forgot about that. Thanks, Babarooski, for pointing that out. Why? Why are we doing this? He pulled the trigger way too soon. I'm just going to tell you how I feel. Pulled the trigger way too soon on Naito losing.
Agreed.
Evil had just joined Bullet Club the night before. That was already shocking.
Mm-hmm.
He debuted his new gear, his new look, everything like that. Cool. And I get where you're going with that. Now let's build the new Evil and see what he's going to be like. Now we have to build new Evil and now he's the champion. Why, Warren?
I look, your guess is as good as mine. I can only assume that Gato just doesn't like Naito.
It has to be, right?
It's the only reason. It's the only thing. Because you can't even say, oh, Naito wasn't a draw. There was nothing to draw for the past 4 months. You know, there's nothing like technically, statistically that you can turn to and say, Tetsuya Naito's championship run was a failure because of, lack of attendance, because no ratings. Because there was nothing. There were no shows. There was just nothing happening.
Yeah.
And like you said, this is the most mind-blowing thing. This is really the most mind-blowing thing to me, which I'm in complete agreement with you, is how many years have we been saying this is Naito's year?
Yeah, years.
This is Naito's year. And then we finally get Naito's year, and it's what? Like, it's his second defense, I think?
Yeah, because he defended it right after he won it, of course.
And here's something. I want to ask you this.
Yeah.
Why do you think it had to be for both belts? Why couldn't it have just been for the world heavyweight?
Yeah. I think it needed to be that. I understand that they did the champ, but I kind of felt like if you're going to go through this New Japan Cup because of these, you know, these unprecedented times, which of course Naito wins the double belts and we have a global pandemic because of course it happens. Right.
Right.
Of course. Of course.
Yep.
Because it's Naito and why not?
Yep.
But for me, I was thinking about this going in. I'm like, okay, cool. Like the New Japan Cup, this would be really fun. The guy who wins the actual cup, maybe he would challenge for the heavyweight championship.
Mm-hmm.
And then someone who really showed out in the cup, either who came in second or did something really cool during the cup and earned their way to an IC shot.
Mm-hmm.
That would have made more sense to me because then you're not demoting Naito completely. If you want to, if you wanted Evil to have the heavyweight belt, okay, have it for that. Fine. Why did it have to be for both? I really want those belts split. I think the belts coming together made sense at the time for the story that they told.
Yes.
But now, since COVID happened, there's no need to tell that story anymore. It's not working. So split them back up again. And there's no harm in that. And I think that that's fine. They just didn't do it.
I don't understand why they didn't do it. And, you know, it's kind of the same thing that I'm wondering in NXT with Keith Lee. I mean, we're going off on a tangent, you know, but it's also the same thing. It's like, when are they going to split this up and how are they going to do it? I mean, I would have much. What's that?
There's a lot of double champs right now.
There's a lot
in the wrestling world.
And I would have been okay if Naito dropped one of the belts. I would have been absolutely okay with that. I don't know why it had to be both. I really don't. Other than just Gato disliking Naito to the umpteenth degree.
Clearly.
Charlie Wolf left a super chat. Thank you very much. Charlie says, not an NJPW expert, but who or what would be the WWE or AEW equivalent to Evil winning here? As far as how shocked everyone seems to be and everything. Sorry?
Sorry. My immediate gut reaction was like, Sean Spears. Sean Spears winning anything.
That's a good point.
And taking it away from someone who had a long reign with it. We don't have a long reign right now in AEW because of situations. Like, we have people who've had it for a while, but nothing like, you know, super long. So similar to Naito in that way. Like, if Sean Spears all of a sudden got a push and just, like, changed allegiances or something and, like, I don't know, they formed Four Horsemen, let's say. They pulled that trigger, and now they're pushing Sean Spears, and he's a part of it with Tully, of course, and now Arn, right?
Mm-hmm.
We made that big reveal, and then the next night, which would be a couple days later on AEW Dynamite, he takes the heavyweight title away from Moxley. That's what it would be like for me.
I agree.
I also see Jinder Mahal, and I would agree with that.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I think we've already seen it in WWE with Jinder Mahal, who out of nowhere wins an Andre the Giant Battle Royal or something. He wins something big at WrestleMania. I don't quite remember. And then two nights later, he's WWE champion. That's exactly it. That's exactly it. Except you could argue that people like Evil more than Jinder Mahal, though.
Yes, I would say so.
I do. But we're not done. We're not even done. It's not done. The mystery man reveals himself after the match to be Japanese wrestling legend Dick Togo, which is pretty freaking cool. Dick Togo spent most of his career in Michinoku Pro Wrestling, in DDT as well. He maybe some of y'all older cats will remember him as a part of Kayentai in WWF when he was there with Taka Michinoku and, oh, I'm drawing a blank, Funaki.
Funaki.
Yes. So when that was happening, that, and honest to God, WWE having Dick Togo signed in the 90s and not having done anything with him is low-key one of the absolute most mind-boggling poor-ass decisions they ever made. Dick Togo came out of retirement a couple of years ago. He had return matches at DDT, which is one of his home promotions. He even wrestled in Evolve a couple of years ago, fought your boy Chris Hero in a very good match, one that I've seen. And he had a short stint in New Japan. He's not like a returning necessarily, a big name New Japan guy returning. He had a short stint in New Japan, but he's had an extensive career, retired, came out of retirement, and clearly they want him, need him hanging around Bullet Club. I mean, there's a lot of Bullet Club stuff happening. Queen, do you have any thoughts on Dick Togo joining the ranks of New Japan Pro Wrestling and Bullet Club?
That was a fun surprise. Because immediately you see the guy and he's like, that doesn't look like Bushi. He's too beefy. And I thought I saw blonde hair and I'm like, could it be Sonata? Nope, too beefy for Sonata, not tall enough. Okay, so who is this guy? And then he unveils and I said, oh, okay. Cool pop, little nostalgia, little bit of fun. And I'm interested to see if he's going to be like a Gato for Evil or if he's going to join New Japan as a heavy for everybody or like how this relationship is going to form. How long is he going to be there? I'm interested to see kind of how it's going to play out. It's fun. The press conference at the end, he was very vocal.
Oh, well, was he? Yeah.
Really cool. Yeah, he was just like in the camera's face, basically, and just like, you know, I don't understand Japanese 100%, but you could tell that he was backing Evil completely. I just think it's interesting.
Right.
Now, I think it's telling that the overall makeup of Bullet Club is changing because a lot of its members
very
are
interesting.
Missing.
Yep.
And what we have here building, I can see being in direct conflict with Jay White, G.O.D., and some other things going on. I wonder how they feel about certain things. Like, yeah, they're going to say, you know, Evil is Bullet Club and welcome to Bullet Club. But when they all come back together, Warren, it's going to be very interesting to see how the rank and file comes out in Bullet Club.
Hey, Kenta's not around either, you know?
Yeah.
Kenta hasn't been around. And your boy, Jay White,
yeah.
He's probably going to have opinions.
I would have think so.
I hope so.
I can't wait to see that when it comes back.
You know, I expect nothing less. You know, just maybe to wrap up the whole Evil winning the title and stuff like that. Like,
yeah.
And everything that's been happening with Bullet Club, too. I mean, clearly there's a push there. We saw it in the New Japan Cup. They're not working with their tippy-top roster because all of them except maybe Gabriel Kidd, right? The Gaijin guys are just not there. So you don't have Jay White, you don't have Will Ospreay, you don't have El Fantasmo. So that's why we ended up with Jado.
Yep.
Wrestling in the opening match, and Gato too, right? I mean, you know, so there's a lot of I'm sure there's a lot of, hey, we have to make do with what we have and we have to stay interesting.
Yes.
We don't know what Gato had planned for Naito moving forward. We just don't.
That is very true.
Maybe there's a lot of the plans. Maybe a lot of the plans had to do with guys who just can't be there right now.
But
we're spitballing, right? So maybe it's just like, look, we're coming back. We have to keep things fresh. Why not just hit a reset kind of thing? Let's just take this stuff in very, very different directions from which we were planning and go this way. I don't know. Like, honestly, we have no clue. And I feel that there's a lot of Evil winning the title tonight that has to do with limited rosters. We need to try something different. We need to do something new. And that's what they decide. Although they still could have kept at least one title on Tetsuya
Naito. I mean, they could have. They could have. That is not a COVID thing. That is a Gato thing.
That's an executive decision. Yes.
Correct. Yes.
Yes.
I think that this is the first time in a very long time that I've truly been shocked in New Japan. Like, actually severely surprised.
Yeah.
Where I went, I'm sorry, what's happening? Evil? Are you sure? Like, everything is evil? Evil? Are you sure? I'm not being punked? Like, where's Ashton?
Io Shirai's husband, evil? Yeah, that guy.
Yeah. Who is, you know, the best in the world. Anywho, so little strange. The thing that I thought was the most telling, though, Warren, was two things. Mm-hmm. One, he won. There was no reaction. Mm-hmm. It was quiet. Mm-hmm. Like, really quiet. Mm-hmm. And I understand they're at smaller capacity, but, like, nothing happened.
It was just shock.
It was just like, huh? And then the second thing that was really telling was Hiromu and that whole scene at the end.
Let's talk about it.
Wow.
Evil and Togo go to work on Naito. Hiromu runs in again for the save, gets the guys out of the ring, and then cuts a promo. Can't wait to hear Chris Charlton's translation of this because I'm sure it is fascinating. He cuts a promo on Evil. Evil gets back into the ring to respond to him, but sort of just like does one of the... He does that.
Yeah.
And he walks out of the ring. And Hiromu effectively melts down Queen.
Yeah, he does. Partly what Chris said and partly what New Japan Global said was, you know, everything Chris said, everything Hiromu believed and wanted was torn away. What have we just seen? And then New Japan Global's put out a couple things about what Hiromu said. He said, Evil, how does it feel? What's going on in your mind right now? Tell me now. I don't care about anything else. Just tell me how you feel. And then some of the other stuff that he said was basically like, you know, I have a favor to ask you. Let me challenge you for those belts you just took. If you're too scared to put them both up, one or the other is fine. And then Evil said, I think later, probably in the press conference, Hiromu? ? Fine. I'll smash you apart anytime. So I guess, and then Hiromu totally freaked out in the ring, like had a freak out moment.
Absolutely melted down.
Yeah. And I'm over here like, same.
Yeah. And like we were saying earlier, this works into Hiromu's character, right? Because he's his emotions are on his sleeve. That's his thing. He has what you see is what you get. And he's nuts. He's literally a ticking time bomb. You never know. You're not quite sure what's going to set him off. And well, this set him off severely. But just to circle back to when you were talking about the zero reaction from the audience. I mean, this is shock, right? It can't be anything else than shock. I know it was shock on Twitter because my timeline just filled up with WTFs and what did I just see? What is happening? You know, like that's all you could see. And I mean, Gato knows that there's a substantial part of the audience who are big time LIJ fans, big time Naito fans. And he knows this. So
yeah,
there's clearly something that he wants to see happen and that he probably got tonight. He was probably very satisfied with what happened ultimately because he was like, no one reacted because everyone was like, wait, what? What? I mean, it was essentially just what we were all doing at home, you know, just sitting there going.
Exactly. What's correct, Warren. I just was like, I'm sorry, what are we witnessing right now? Yeah. Just the fact that yesterday we saw Evil pin Okada, like pin Okada, what's happening? And then he pins Okada, okay, fine. So then we have a double champ match, don't agree, but fine. Because I'm like, oh, well, he's winning those. Okay, he beat Okada, whatever, that's our big surprise, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. And he joins Bullet Club and he's got a new look and he's going to try to do some dirty tactics, but he's not going to win. freaking wrong.
Completely wrong.
Ugh. I'm so annoyed. But like at the same time, that's how passionate we are about New Japan and how invested they get us. Like just within 24 hours, the Evil storyline made me more interested in Evil than anything he's done in the past 3 years.
There you go.
Easily, right? Mm-hmm. And he had great runs with Sonata as tag champs too, by the way. But, you know, like nothing got me excited about Evil until he turned Bullet Club. Because now I'm like, okay, now I'm interested. Now I want to see what you're going to do with that. I did not want to see you win the belts, though, but I digress. I think it's just the fact that we have this such strong emotional connection to New Japan booking.
Do you think at the Evil Shirai household, they're going to have like a, they're you know, on their end tables, they're going to drape their titles like over their respective, you know, their respective end tables and then sort of roll over and kiss each other goodnight, then roll over and kiss their titles and then go to bed. Right?
Love it. Yeah. I mean, it's really, it is cool when you think about it like that, that she's the reigning NXT champion and killing it over here. And he's in Japan and just won both titles plus his other title that he had. So now he has three. That is pretty cool. Well, unlike Adam Cole and Britt Baker who have zero moss right now.
Hey, you know, there you go. At least they have a pool. just want to say hi to Mags who's in the chat, Conrad as well, Andy Q, and Madden Bronco as well. Hello, everyone. Queen, to wrap this one up, New Japan Pro Wrestling Dominion in Osaka Joe Hall 2020. What did you feel about the show overall? Did you like it? So-so? Give me your final thoughts.
I thought it was great. I really did. I thought it was excellent.
What was your favorite match?
Ooh, tough. I think it's probably a tie between Sho and Shingo and the tag match. I thought they were both extraordinary, but like for completely different reasons.
Sure.
Too, which is really cool. I'd give it a solid A on this show, even though I hated the ending. I thought it was well done. But actually, I thought the championship match was the worst of the top three. So
yeah, I agree with that. Shingo and Sho is fantastic. I mean, if you only have time to watch one match, watch that. And if you only have time to watch one thing that will just confuse and befuddle you, the last 10 minutes of Naito versus Evil will do it for you. Queen, I want to thank you so much for staying up super late or very early with me today. I really, really do appreciate it. Why don't you let all the good, good folks listening right now know where, because you started, where to find you, because you started a new gig this week on top of that, or last week on Friday, right?
Yeah, I did. Well, firstly, thank you so much for having me. I love hanging out with you, Warren, and talking New Japan is so much fun, so I appreciate you. Y'all can find me on Twitter at the Queen of NE. My show is a Share the Airwaves with Warren on Smart to Death Radio. I'm on Wednesdays. I used to have a buddy, but I don't anymore. But on Wednesdays, Queen's Court drops. I have a fun show coming with our pal Mags this week.
That.
So that'll drop on Wednesday. And I did start a new gig on Friday. I joined WrestleJoy with my new short show where I give something called Cup of Joy to you, where I share something, could be a moment, a match, a person, an interview, whatever, that brings me joy that I want to bring to a wider audience. So very exciting stuff.
I like how you said, I used to have a buddy, but you didn't name him.
Like, no, I didn't.
Like you're full on WWE erasing him from history, right?
How dare he abandon me?
I know, I can get behind that. Let's
just
not
kidding. I love you, JPQ.
Oh, do you now? Okay. thank you so much, Queen. It's always a pleasure to have you on. I love talking New Japan with you. It's always good. It's always fun. Thank you so much. I can't thank you enough. So I'm going to say it again. Thank you again.
Thanks, buddy.
And thank you everyone for tuning in, watching live. If you liked what happened here today, why don't you give the video a thumbs up? I really would appreciate that. That'd be great. Thank you everyone for hanging out with us so early, late, or whatever time it was you popped in. Well, see you next time. How about that?